Hey folks, this is Jesse Cope, back with another episode of the American Soul Podcast. Hope y'all are doing well, wherever you are, and whatever part of the day you're in. I appreciate you giving me a little bitty piece of it. Hope it gives you something to talk with a friend about, whether you're in school or out of school or married. At any rate, I'm glad you're here, and I will try and use your time wisely. Homestead, got a little work done out in the yard. Potatoes are looking pretty good, thanks to the effort of my eldest in weeding, and made a little bit of progress on the duck coop before the rain shut us down. So that's good. Duckies, as my children call them, are getting quite large. They grow much faster, at least from my inexperienced eye right now, than chickens. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for you, Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the time to record this podcast. The people that listen to it. Be with them and their families. Guide and bless them. Surround us with your angels, Father. Protect us from evil of any kind. Help us to help those that have less than we do. Help us to help our country turn back to you. Help us to care for the widow and the orphan, the poor and the needy. Us to care for our veterans, particularly those who are homeless and disabled. Help us to get our priorities in line as a nation, Father. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our support of abortion, our support and participation in sexual deviancy. Hardness of heart when it comes to divorce. Our rejection of the roles and responsibilities you have given us. For becoming a lawless land that does not fear you. Thank you again for your Son. Jesus Christ, He is our only hope, Father. You know that. Help us to trust in you and to know that you can bring us home safe, regardless of what happens in this world. And guide my words by the place, your Son's name we pray. Amen. Have you read your Bible today? Have you prayed? Just for a few minutes, folks, even if it's just a few minutes. If you're married, have you made time to show your spouse that they're your second priority each day? Have you planned your day around them instead of giving them your leftovers after the rest of your day? You know, it always amazes me, and I'm guilty of it, at times in my life and in different areas, folks, but we realize that if we want to be successful academically or athletically, or professionally, it's going to take some work. We realize that if we want to get in shape, well, we don't seem to realize this as much these days, but a lot of us still do. We realize that if we want to be healthy, to get in shape, it's going to require work. And there's a number of other aspects of our lives that you could make a similar comment about. We realize that when we really want something, when we want to be successful, it requires effort. And the more successful we want to be, the more effort it takes. And yet, two areas where we continually expect magic are our faith and our marriages. We expect them to just coast, expect to put the least amount in that's needed, and then complain about how horrible our marriage is. We want to put in the bare minimum and then whine about how weak our faith is. Never going to work, folks. A little bit of news before we get into the heart of the podcast. We're going to go back and talk about some of the quotes, showing the fact again and again that we were born a Christian nation. There's an article, Epoch Times, from the last week. Again, phenomenal newspaper, folks. Highly recommend it if you are looking for a newspaper or if you'd like to get back to reading one. It is by far the best newspaper that I have read in 10 or 15 years. So, at any rate, there's an article titled Behind EV Push, A Wealth Transfer from Red to Blue, and it's by Kevin Stockland. And it, what it talks about is some new rules that the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, has finalized. And basically what they require is for car makers to have one-third of new car sales be plug-in EVs by 2027, so 3 years, and more over two-thirds, right? So over 67% by 2032 in 8 years, which most of y'all probably realize it's just a bad idea to begin with, but there's some interesting statistics when you get into this article that was really fascinating to me. So there's a quote in here by Robert Bryce, who's a energy analyst. He said, in reality, it's a type of class warfare that will prevent low and middle income consumers from being able to afford new cars. Because what's going to happen, right, is when you have this push for EV, there's going to be fewer and fewer gas cars available because the manufacturers aren't going to be able to make them because of the rules put in place by the Environmental Protection Agency, which is ironic that they're pushing something that's actually more hazardous to the environment, but that's another topic. And so the fewer and fewer gas cars, right, despite what the left says, it's supply and demand. So your demand's going to stay the same and your supply is going to tank. And so what's the cost going to do? The cost is going to go up on your gas, which is the whole purpose, right? The problem is in the real world, not in the little bubble that the left lives in. A lot of us can't use, don't have the luxury of relying on electrical vehicles. Whether we live on a farm or a ranch, and it's mostly in your rural areas. So I'm going to read a few quotes here and then we'll move on. I don't know how much time we'll have. I think this is pretty enlightening. So, 2023 report by Texas Public Policy Foundation found that as much as $48,000 of the cost of the average electric vehicle sold in the United States is paid not by the owner, but by other taxpayers. Whether it's taxes directly paid to the government or an increase in electricity costs that we pay toward the electrical companies that then pay to these EV, however it works. And you'd have to talk to somebody that's a lot brighter about the exact scheme, right? But it's taxes, government subsidies, and then I'm sorry, I got that backwards a while ago. It's economy, fuel economy credits paid by the gas car makers to electrical vehicle manufacturers. And you do get higher electricity bills because you're having to do what? You're having to build the power grid out and install all these new charging stations because we don't have a system right now that'll allow you to drive and just stop at your local gas station and get electricity. So the average cost of a 2021 electrical vehicle would cost almost $50,000 more than what the owners are actually paying for it. So now not only are you going to continue, this is already happening, but now not only are you going to continue to raise the cost of gas vehicles, you're doing so by taking more money from people that are paying taxes and raising electrical rates, and you're doubly increasing the cost of gas cars because it's a supply and demand thing, but also now those gas car manufacturers are having to pay subsidies to the electrical vehicle manufacturers. And so the average, just listen to this again, the average owner, somebody that walked onto a lot and bought an electrical vehicle in 2021 should have paid $50,000 more over a 10-year period for that vehicle. So you think about all the maintenance you have to do on your car, tires, everything that goes with it, right? Over a 10-year period, you're helping pay about $50,000 to other citizens just because they go in and purchase an electrical vehicle. And then the other thing that's really interesting is the geopolitics here. So who owns electrical vehicles? Can you break that down? Can you look at that, right? So this is from earlier this year in February, and this is again Robert Bryce that's quoted in this article by the author Kevin Stockland. 57% of electrical vehicle buyers earn more than $100,000 annually. 75% of electrical vehicle buyers are male. 87% are white. And the numbers also, as you would guess, are overwhelmingly left-leaning politically. And so you have a majority who are white, a majority who are male, a majority who make over $100,000 annually, and a majority who are left-leaning. Fifty percent of all new electrical vehicles are sold in the top 10% of most Democrat counties. 70% are in the top 25% most Democrat counties, and 90% of electrical vehicles sold are in the top 50% most Democrat. So the counties that have, if you rank the counties by most Democratic or left-leaning to least left-leaning, over 90% of electrical vehicles are sold in the top 50% of counties that are left-leaning. This is all from February again this year. 40% of all the electrical vehicles sold during this period are from just 20 counties across the nation. And the majority of those counties are urban, in or around cities, high income, and in left states. And so, what do you see overall? And the author does a great job. If you get a chance, I would read the article. He does a great job in adding some more little color to it, again, by Kevin Stockman, Behind EV Push, a Wealth Transfer from Red to Blue. And that's the point, right? So the cost of vehicles is going to continue to go up for your rural, low income, and right-leaning states. And more subsidies, tax credits, government subsidies, fuel economy credits that are paid by these gas car makers are going to go to those urban, high income, and left-leaning states. And the reason we're talking about this on the American Soul podcast is if you don't understand the fact that leftism is just a variant, just a different shade of communism, socialism, fascism, Nazism, they're all just different shades, folks, of godless evil. And it takes a lot of different forms. This is just one of them. And it's a war, folks, and it's a war waged on a lot of different fronts. And we just need to be aware of it. I didn't leave a lot of time. I'm going to go back and read a quote we read, I believe, yesterday, just because it's so important. We've read it before. It's by Harry Truman. This is a Christian nation. In this great country of ours has been demonstrated the fundamental unity of Christianity and democracy. That first sentence, this is a Christian nation, was already slipping by this point. You got to remember when Truman was alive, president. When he was president, 1947 case, 47 case of separation of church and state had already occurred. 1833, U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Marshall. One great object of the colonial charters was avowedly the propagation of the Christian faith. It's important to realize why the pilgrims and those early generations of Americas, even all the way back to Columbus when he was coming over here, why were they coming? And one of the most important reasons, and really the most important because it was consistently one of the most important, was the propagation of the Christian faith. They wanted to help spread faith in Jesus Christ. There's another quote, U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice Earl Warren. I believe no one can read the history of our country without realizing that the good book, the Bible, and the spirit of the Savior, Jesus Christ, have from the beginning been our guiding geniuses. Whether we look to the first charter of Virginia, or to the charter of New England, or to the charter of Massachusetts Bay, or to the fundamental orders of Connecticut, the same objective is present. A Christian land governed by Christian principles. And you go back to the quote, I think by FDR, the closer we have been to following those principles of Christ, the better off our nation has been. The farther away we get from them, the worse we have been in our decisions, the darker the times have gotten. And so these are both chief justices of the Supreme Court, folks, regardless of whether you like them individually or not. As I've said multiple times, no one's perfect. You're always going to find a little bit of truth. You just have to dig for it from different people. We were born a Christian republic. Even before we were a nation, we were founded on the basis of spreading Christianity. That's why people came here. We don't work outside of Jesus Christ, folks. God bless y'all, your families, your marriages. God bless America.